This week we're going to be looking at how the Holy Spirit is involved in evangelism. Now, evangelism sounds like a really fancy word, but really when you break it down, it's about sharing our faith. It means sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ dying for our sins. And I don't know about you, but when I've shared my faith, sometimes it's gone well. I thought that I talked to that person and they received it well. I said what I wanted to say, and I thought it was a win. I thought it went well. Then other times there's been moments where I feel like I've stumbled over my words, or I felt like they didn't receive what I had to say at all. And I walked away feeling somewhat disheartened, wondering if what I said meant anything at all. And in our Christian life, we will have experiences like that, where we share our faith and it will go well, or maybe we'll think it didn't really go well. What we're going to learn today is that no matter how we share our faith and how we think it went, the Holy Spirit is intricately involved in us sharing our faith. And we're going to be encouraged today to see what Scripture has to say about that. So before we dive in today, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to lift this morning up to you. Lord, we pray that as we get into your word this morning, you would guide us into all truth when it comes to sharing our faith and your role in our life. Lord, we pray that you would encourage us, you would strengthen us, empower us to share our faith. Lord, that we would learn something today that would help us to share the gospel with others. And Lord, we pray that you would open up opportunities for us to share about Jesus to those who are lost in the world. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen. So to start, our first point that we're going to be looking at, we're going to have 3 points this morning. Our first point, our main point, is that in sharing our faith, we are to be dependent on the Spirit. We are to be dependent on the Spirit. And we see this, first and foremost, in the very beginning of the apostles' ministry. If we turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 46 to 49, Jesus is talking to the disciples shortly before he leaves this earth. And he says this, he told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Now, they were told by Jesus to have this great message to share, but also to wait, to be dependent on the Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you had a job to do, or just in a situation where you had something that had to get done, and you hit a snag and you had to be dependent on someone or something in order to finish that project. I remember a few years ago, in work camp, on one of our work camp trips with the teens in West Virginia. I was on a site working with the teens, repainting the first floor. And along the way, there was a lot of things that came up, and one of the things was that we ran out of paint that day. We underestimated how much paint we would need. And so we had to wait for someone to show up with paint. The whole project and the importance of it couldn't move forward until that paint showed up to finish the job. Now, maybe you've been dependent on something, a tool, or just an object that you needed to finish something, or maybe your car broke down and you had to be dependent on someone to come help you in that situation. We've all experienced this idea of dependence and waiting for someone or something important to show up. Jesus is showing the disciples that they have to wait. They have to be dependent on the Spirit to arrive, to indwell in them, so that they would be able to share the gospel. And we see this happen on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit descended upon them and indwelled them, he empowered them to share the gospel to all who were there in Jerusalem. And 3,000 people came to place their faith in Christ and came to salvation. That couldn't have been achieved if they just sprinted off into Jerusalem right after Jesus told them about what to do and felt like they could share the message of Jesus on their own. And so Jesus is teaching them in this moment that they are to be dependent, utterly dependent on the Spirit, and what their work to do in the world is to lean into and to be dependent on the Spirit in sharing the gospel. It was like they had to be waiting for this wave to arrive. If you watch surfers before, they sit in the ocean and they wait for this giant wave to come. Well, the day of Pentecost was the beginning of that wave, and they caught that wave that came. We as Christians, we participate with what the Holy Spirit is doing and wanting in the world. It isn't that God somehow, you know, helps us and joins us in what we're trying to accomplish, but we join in and partner with what the Holy Spirit's already doing in the world. We want to lean into the desire of the Holy Spirit. We want to be dependent on the Holy Spirit and sharing our faith. The next thing to realize when it comes to being dependent on the Spirit and sharing our faith is that without the Holy Spirit, our evangelism is powerless. Without the Holy Spirit, our evangelism is powerless. Now, there are two different extremes that we tend to go to sometimes in sharing our faith. The one is we appeal very much to the head. We try to reason with someone or argue with someone or debate with someone on why Jesus is God. And that's very important to do. We want to be thinking Christians, intellectual Christians, be able to defend our faith. But evangelism, sharing our faith, if we just try to appeal to the head and win an argument, we are missing it. And one of the lead apologists in the world, Ravi Zacharias, who is known worldwide for his ability to argue for the faith, says this in his website about apologetics. He says, apologetics is not a set of techniques for winning people to Christ. It is not a set of argumentative templates designed to win debates. It is a willingness to work with God in helping people discover and obey His glory. And so even the lead apologist in the world, Ravi Zacharias, who goes all over to different cities to defend the faith against atheists, doesn't walk away from those interactions thinking, I won the argument. I proved this happened. He walks into those discussions and debates and walks away from them, utterly dependent on the Spirit to do the work. If Ravi Zacharias isn't depending on the Spirit, if he isn't in prayer, if he isn't looking to God to help guide his conversations, to help open up the minds of people who are there, it will be powerless. And we have to have that same mindset going into different discussions that we have about faith with people who maybe don't believe. The other side of things is the emotional appeal, that people can appeal to just the emotions. And we've seen in the past, and even maybe in current day, how preachers, pastors, churches, sometimes in general, can really whip people up into an emotional frenzy, can sometimes emotionally manipulate spaces and rooms to try to get people to come to Christ. And that's important. It's important to address the emotional side of our life and how Christ satisfies our deepest desires and longings. But if we're only thinking that we can try to create a certain space or try to just appeal to people's emotions and that's it, and that's what's going to win them to Christ, it will be powerless. It needs to be dependent on the Spirit. And not to move into manipulation, but to respect people's emotions, to provide safe places and places for people to come to meet Jesus, but to realize that that isn't what brings people to Jesus. What brings people to Jesus is the Holy Spirit and the people who are presenting the gospel and people who are sharing their faith being dependent on Him. And so how do we grow in our dependence? Well, there are three quick ways we'll remember. The first is prayer. We want to be praying daily for those who are lost in our lives and be praying for being dependent on the Spirit. We want to walk daily, reminding ourselves that we are to be led by the Spirit. The second way is we want to remember the power that the Holy Spirit has within us. We are weak, we are fragile, we are very temperamental people, and our ability to do things pales in comparison to what God can do through us. So we need to remember that. There is power that the Holy Spirit brings to our life. And lastly, we want to be persevering. We can be praying for people in our life for years and years for them to come to Christ. And just because we have a discussion with them and it doesn't seem to go well, isn't the end of their story. Maybe we planted a seed in their mind. Maybe we just nudged them slightly in a certain direction and we didn't really see that. Maybe the Holy Spirit will bring that conversation back up 5 years, from that moment. And so we want to lean and be dependent on the Holy Spirit to have perseverance, to know there's a bigger story happening and that the Holy Spirit is working in our life to help share our faith and to do His work through us. And so that's our first main big point, is that in sharing our faith, we are to be dependent on the Spirit. The second main point, in sharing our faith, we are directed by the Spirit. So in sharing our faith, we are directed by the Spirit. We're going to look at two verses. The first verse is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. And this is a broad general principle for our life as Christians. Romans chapter 8, 14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." As Christians, we are to be daily be led by the Spirit in our life in general, as a whole, 100% of our life, to be led by the Spirit. And we are also, that includes being led by the Spirit to share our faith and to be sensitive to those moments when the Holy Spirit may be leading us or nudging us to share our faith with someone in a conversation. And we see this play out in Acts chapter 8, which is our second verse for this main second point. So Acts chapter 8, verse 29 is happening in the context of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch are going to have a divine appointment that the Holy Spirit's going to work in and through. So in verse 29, really quick verse, but very important verse, says, "The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to the chariot and stay near it.'" So the Spirit told Philip, the Holy Spirit, nudged Philip to go to near this chariot because he was going to share his faith with this Ethiopian eunuch who needed to hear about Jesus. And he listened and he followed the Spirit's direction in that divine appointment. And so we see when we are directed by the Spirit, and as I said before, He wants to bring these divine appointments to bear in our life. He wants them to be happening all the time. And the Holy Spirit nudges us to lean into conversations about Jesus. Now, I remember I heard a story of a churchgoer one time who was in an airport waiting to go to a missions trip. And when she was in the airport, she vividly was moved by the Holy Spirit. She heard the Holy Spirit saying, "Share your faith with this person sitting next to you at the airport." And she followed through with that. She shared her faith with that person at the airport because she was prompted by the Holy Spirit to do so. And so she was walking in step with the Holy Spirit and followed through with that nudge that the Holy Spirit placed on her heart to share the gospel with someone sitting right next to her. And so we want to be in tune with the Holy Spirit in our life. We want to constantly be leaning into things that will help the Holy Spirit be able to speak more clearly into our life and be able to direct us in our life. And so how does that happen? How do we do that? Galatians 5 shows us how we do that. If you want to turn there, Galatians 5, verses 16 and following. Paul says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The act of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, fractions and envy, drunkenness, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." And so Paul shows us here what it means to look like, what it means to walk in step with the Spirit, and what it looks like to not walk in step with the Spirit. If we are constantly sinning or leaning into sin, or sin is looking attractive to us, that is quenching the Holy Spirit. It is working to silence the Holy Spirit and what He wants to do in our life and guide us towards those divine appointments. But if we are participating in things that benefit us in our Christian life, like listening to worship music, listening to sermons, going outside and just allowing ourselves to worship God and experience His nature, His creation, to be praying daily, to do things that feed our soul, those things allow the Holy Spirit to speak with ease into our life, and that we're more easily able to listen, hear, and follow through with those divine appointments. And lastly, our third point for this morning is that in sharing our faith, decisions for Christ are made through the Spirit. That decisions for Christ are made through the Spirit. Our main passage for this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. And it shows us the spiritual battle that's happening in unbelievers' lives and how we are to understand the battle we are engaging in when we share our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So Satan is wanting to blind the minds of those who are unbelieving. He's actively working against the mission of God and trying to help people not see the gospel. And so when we share our faith, we're engaging in spiritual warfare. It is not just a rational discussion trying to win a debate. It's not just some emotional appeal. It is engaging in something that's deeply spiritual, and the Holy Spirit is a huge player in having the other person start to understand the gospel and bringing that person to saving faith. We see this play out in John chapter 3 in the account of Nicodemus when Jesus is talking to him. In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, verse 5, Jesus answered, truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. The Spirit is what brings life. The Spirit is who enters into that person and makes them realize that Jesus is Lord and Savior of their life. A rational, natural person without the Spirit can't look at the cross of Christ, see a beaten, bruised, nailed, scarred hands and feet nailed to a cross, and come to deduce that that person up there is the Lord of the whole universe. And also knows me personally, and also died for me in all my sins, and also wants to be with me forever. I need something to help me come to understand that that is outside of myself. And the Holy Spirit is the one who is actively at work in people's hearts to come to bring them to understand that. And so, how do we play our part in this act of evangelism? How do we play our part in people coming to salvation? We want to see ourselves as people casting seed out into the field. We want to share our faith with people in ways that are going to resonate with others, that meet people where they're at. But we aren't responsible, ultimately, to bring them to salvation. We are responsible to share the gospel and to be dependent on the gospel and to be dependent on the Holy Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. But ultimately, it's God who is at work in that person's heart. And we may see that person come to faith right in that moment, but there have been other people who have planted seeds that the Holy Spirit has been working on that person, that God has been working on that person. And maybe you're just the one that sees them cross the finish line and come to saving faith. Or maybe you're the one that is way down the line and you shared your faith with that person maybe when they were young. And it wasn't until 10 years later that they came to faith. That was a seed you planted that God started to water. And so we want to allow us to do our part and God to do his. And so lastly, within this third main point, is that our prayers should be focused on those who are lost. I think it's important to be praying for those who are sick physically, praying for our world as a whole. But as Christians, we want to be praying for those who are lost that we know. And so who are some people that you know that are lost spiritually? Who are some people who don't know Christ, who are maybe actively against Christ? Those should be our primary prayers. We should be praying for the salvation of souls. And that's our work as Christians, to work with the Holy Spirit, to be led by Him, to be directed by Him, and to allow God to do work in those people's lives. And so this morning, we saw three different ways that the Holy Spirit is involved in evangelism and sharing our faith. Your application this morning is to take these things that we learned and share your faith this week. Share your faith and allow God to open up those doors, to allow God to do His work, to be praying for people who are maybe not saved, who are lost, who don't know Jesus. Pray for those people intentionally this week. Be focused on the spiritual condition of people in your life this week and see what God is going to do through you in those people's lives.